Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to give you a word of wisdom today. We've been talking about abiding in Christ, and I want to tell you the powers that you have. You have the power to restrict, reduce, and replace. Restrict those things that are coming into your mind that are negative, and reduce the impact that they have on you. No matter what you've been through, no matter how many bad experiences you have the power to restrict and reduce. And then you have the power of the resurrection, to which you can replace anything that's not as God is in your life, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So yeah, you have the power to restrict, reduce, and replace. All of that is given to you because you abide in Christ. Please like, subscribe, and please share. And I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Right, this is amazing. The discussion before class was good, and it goes right along with what we're going to be talking about today. And Frida's passing out the scripture. And on the scripture, if we're going to be doing 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but and she's passing that out, it's ESV, but on the back, it's chapter 6. So you need to hold on to it. Because when we get into chapter 6, I'm not going to be passing out anymore. It's both 5 and 6 on the same sheet. So we start out. First, I'd like to ask the question before we get into anything. What is fornication?
Having sex outside of marriage.
Okay. Anybody else have sex out of marriage? Wonder if I'm not married.
What did you say?
Fornication.
Then you fornicate.
Okay, what is fornication? I'm asking.
When you're not married. You're not married. And you're still having sex.
But she said when you're married.
No, she didn't.
Having sex outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage.
Outside
of
marriage.
Okay.
Outside of marriage.
Okay.
So is it any sexual?
Okay, sexual immorality, okay? Fornication is sexual immorality, and that can encompass a lot of things, okay? Pardon me?
Is that Christian, is that sin, or just regular anybody?
That's what the King James Dictionary says. Fornication is sexual immorality, and that's where we're going to be coming from when we do our lesson today. Okay, if you want to break it down into, you know, is it with marriage, you know, if you're married, if you're not married, or whatever. But any type of sexual immorality is fornication. Ephesians 5, 1 through 4 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And that's Ephesians 5, 4 through 1. Okay? Start us up.
Okay.
In prayer. Did we pray?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Which, I didn't. Which one of these?
Nothing. Nothing. We already prayed.
I thought you were talking about reading.
No. Little memory lapse. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're talking about sin. Before we get started, we're talking about sin and how it takes a toll on our life, it takes a toll on our family, and it takes a toll on the church. And we just talked about that before when we first started, you know, just in general conversation. It ruins lives, it ruins our peace of mind, and it devastates communities. So, you know, we see all of that. Let's start out and read 1 Corinthians 5, then we're going to go and talk about it some, and then we're going to go through doing some questions. Freedom?
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Yes. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not? Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
This is Brown, is it my
fault?
Yeah. This is Jasmine. She's trying to get in touch with me. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? It is not those inside the church whom Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. You know, it's just amazing how, I keep going back, that conversation we had is so relevant to what we're talking about today. I mean, what we're, yeah, in class. And the thing was, we had talked earlier, but the thing with the Corinthians, instead of responding in to the situation at hand, they responded in arrogance when God pointed out what was going on in their lives. But that's not how, you know, they should have responded. They should have, you know, just bowed down in humble repentance for what they've done. And so, The people in Corinth, the church at Corinth, they were compromising with sin. And again, saying today is so relevant. It's, you know, we compromise. And a lot of times we don't even realize it, what we're doing by compromising with sin. You know, our, just like today, the city of Corinth was full of homosexuality, prostitution. You know, it was like we talked about before, the Las Vegas of the time. And they had everything going on. They even had, instead of having the Mustang Ranch, they had the Temple of Aphrodite there. And so it was everywhere. And so they were ignoring the sin in the life of the man that was in the congregation. The enemy does things like that. People are so infiltrated with all the negative stuff that finally it just becomes like, okay. If you look at television, you see all the commercials, all the medications they have for sexually transmitted diseases. You can take this, you can take that. You see they have males kissing males and women, and you see it so much, it's like, okay. It's like it doesn't bother you anymore. But you have to realize then they're trying to get you to accept what's going on in the world. But we can't. As saints of God, we can't accept that. And that's what Paul was saying then. God's plan in dealing with sin in the church is to carry out clear, firm, but loving response to the discipline to bring the offending person back, into repentance. And, you can look at that more in Matthew 18. But this situation needed to be handled with church discipline. Our churches today need to step up and say much. A lot of churches don't say anything, and we all know in a lot of churches who runs the choir. It's usually, and everybody knows that, huh? What were you saying, Mother?
No, I was just saying they
A lot of our church musicians are homosexuals, So, but the church needs to stand up and say more. But, if you give a little bit more money and you have a talent, people just overlook it. Amen. Amen. And it shouldn't be that way. So, no one, even questioned in the Corinthian church if it was even sin. But it was such a horrible sin that even the Galatians, the pagans that were not in the church, they even didn't do it. So what I'm talking about is the man in Corinth, what I'm speaking out at? The man in Corinth.
The man who had his father's wife.
Had his father's wife, yes. And I believe it was his stepmother, but it's still his mother. Right. And so no one said anything. They didn't question it at all. We have to realize that God takes sin seriously, very seriously. And God urges that we administer strong medicine as an antidote to sin. And the kind of hidden sin plaguing the Corinthian church threatened to spread through the congregation like yeast spreads through bread. So closing our eyes to sin or in the lives of others while also arrogantly boasting, and that's what they did, it boasted about living in such careless ways, dishonors the Lord. The Corinthian congregation was allowing leaven, and that is evil, to spread through the church. So when we do that, again, like I said, we're dishonoring God. They were the very ones, people in the Corinthian church, who were talking about the death of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ, yet they let these sins continue. Paul had previously written them and called them out in a letter, and that letter was lost, but he called them out in it. And they lived in a city given over to immorality, and like I said, they had all these priests and everything there, but sex was just like a dominant religion in Corinth, and the people in Corinth have just basically grown numb to it. The people in the world today have grown numb to it.
Is there another word called seared, like your conscious or seared? It's become so common that the conscious is just seared to what is wrong.
Yeah, the Bible talks about your conscious is seared like a hot iron. Yeah, because sin, it doesn't even bother
you. Right.
I mean, we've got to a point in the church, whereas we're so focused on homosexuality there's other sins that's going on in the church that, you know, people are living the way they want to live and they don't care.
Right.
But Lord, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't bother them that they know that they're living a certain type of way or a certain situation. And because it's not homosexuality, something we can see, touch, feel, and smell, they figure it's okay. But they keep living this way. And it's amazing to me as I watch saints ignore the, what God says and think again that they're getting away with it because nobody really knows or pays attention. But God knows.
Yes, he does.
And if you feel strongly about what God wants for you, the best for you, and you decide, not, the Bible says, if you know to do good and don't do it, it sins you. But it's interesting with the saints. Yeah, we want to look at the homosexual. We want to look at the homosexual. No. Okay.
And we don't even look at him.
Why not look at the other things that couples do? You know, shacking and doing other things of that nature. Is that my phone again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and other things they do, you know, stealing and whatever. That's right. Whatever you have to do, you know. So it's kind of funny. Like, I don't want to, you know, we got so heavy on homosexuality that we're missing other stuff that we just become accustomed to, you know, in society. You know what I'm saying? We just become accustomed to it, and we don't. It doesn't even bother us anymore because it's so part of our society now. You know.
And another thing too. What about the wording, you know, so how people approach you and the wording that they say to you? A lot of them, they think that they can just speak to you any kind of way they want to speak. Mm-hmm. And you're just supposed to be receptive of it.
Well, you know, like I said, we become, like, you know, Doc was saying, it's just not homosexuality, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of different things. And it's gradually mm-hmm. being infiltrated into our everyday lives. And we don't notice it, you know. Disrespecting parents and elders are things that it doesn't matter. You know, you look at television, you see a lot of cursing that goes on, and the attitudes that, you know, kids have against parents. All those things you see it on television is like is everyday life. So we see it all the time, and it gets to the point it's like, and that's it. If we even say that, but that is why, as saints of God, we have to, you know, we're supposed to be set aside. We're supposed to be the ones, instead of being taken into that, be able to say no. And that's what Paul was saying. You all should know better. You all been taught better. You know, that's not what you do. You're not supposed to blend in. You're supposed to stand out. And so they weren't doing that. You know, they were permitting this man to just join in fellowship and worship and in ministry as if everything was okay. And like I said, they patted him on the back and accepted him as one of their own, and they knew the type of lifestyle that he was living. So they thought that they could drop down on the world's level, which a lot of us, our churches are doing today, dropping down to the world's level. But we can't escape God's judgment,
Amen.
You know. So we can't drop down and expect to escape his judgment. Paul was concerned about what was going on in the church, the Christians at the Corinthian church. And he wasn't too concerned about outside because he said, God will handle the outside. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm called to do. And it should be the same way with us. We have to clean up our own houses first, you know. So let's kind of, is there any questions about that? And I just kind of gave a brief synopsis of what we're going to be discussing as we go through our questions, because I think that the questions, we can really pull out a whole lot more and discuss. But is it more?
I was going to say. What did Paul actually say about the church? And what did he say? Read that again.
I said that Paul was concerned.
No, I said read the scripture. What did he actually say?
Oh,
what did he say?
In verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people.
I'm talking about the part where you talk about judging inside the church, outside the church.
Oh, okay. We were going to go on to do that, but these are talking about verse 12. Yeah. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you.
So, that scripture, a lot of people don't, so y'all need to stop that. Don't judge stuff. You read it right there. The reason you judge is to purge. Not them. Inside. And you don't want to do it, I know. But you just got an order from God that we can. And the purpose is to keep the church pure. But again, I know you've been saying it for 1,000 years. Judgmental. What's that? That's judging. That's judgmental. Yeah. The point for judging is to create an atmosphere where sin cannot abound. Amen. You got to be truthful. The church has done a bad job at guarding its own house.
Yes.
All to get people in the seats.
Yep.
And we didn't be derelict on what God said we can do, and we spend a lot of time doing stuff that we ain't got no business doing. Mm-hmm. So right there, y'all should circle that. So the next time a saint say, "You judge me," say, "I sure am." Right, God gave me power to do that. And it's not based on me. If you a saint of God, you can judge. But the key is, are you judging the righteous judgment based on the word of God? Not based on what you like and what your opinion is. Get the scripture, find it, say, "This is what you're doing, bro."
And we're talking about those spiritual things. Mm-hmm. You want them to keep it in context, those spiritual things.
When you say those spiritual things, what do you mean by that?
Those things that are set by God. The line with his word, right. If you know, not I'm judging you because wrong color clothes or the wrong color this or you dressing like that. No, not that type of judgment. Well, I think you should do this. You know, when you say that, I think that's the problem. Mm. You know, I think. What does the word say? Mm-hmm. Is that all right?
No. I just want to read that passage.
Okay. Let's look at our questions, because as we go through our questions, we're going to dig deep into this again. But everyone has their sheet. I just kind of wanted to go through that and kind of keep that in mind, and then we can dig deeper into each one of these verses. Okay. Sister Daphne, can you read number one? First, read the scripture. Okay. Do you have your sheets?
Yes.
Okay, because I gave out to ESV.
Yes. Okay. Well, the Bible I have is the New King James.
She gave out two sheets.
She gave out two sheets.
She might want to
I thought,
two sheets before we get.
Oh, you said do it off the sheet. I'm sorry.
No problem.
The question.
You have the scriptures sheet and the question sheet. You can close your Bible up.
Now I have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm on the same page with you. All right. So, 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 1. Mm-hmm. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife.
Okay. Now, read the question.
What specific sin existed in Corinth, according to chapter 5, verse 1? And there was sexual immorality in the form of a man sleeping with his father's wife.
Okay. And as I said earlier, it was just really, really vile that even, you know, you would have this man sleeping with his father's wife, and that was something that even the pagans we're talking against. Okay, right. But the Corinthians, they kind of rationalized and minimized this sin, which was common knowledge. So the thing that if you study words and look at some of the meaning and some of the roots of some of the words that we have today, the Greek for immorality, the root is the same as that for pornography. So it was just kind of, that was just an interesting thing. Number two, Mother, could you read that one? Read the verse.
Okay. What attitude did the church have about...
No, read the scripture first.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. And you are arrogant, ought you not rather to moan? Let him who has done this be removed from among you.
Okay. Now the question.
What attitude did the church have about this? And what attitude should they have? What should they have had?
Okay.
They were arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have been mourning.
And they should have been what?
Mourning. You say mourning.
Mourning. Okay. You want to elaborate that on anybody?
They had pride, but they should have had sadness.
Okay.
Okay. Instead of overlooking it, they should have,
Someone should have said something. Yeah, to get the ball going. Okay, number three, Sister Carolyn. We're looking at verse 2 again in question 3.
For though absent in the body.
No. Question 3. We're still on verse 2.
Oh. Question 3,
yes.
What should we have done to the guilty man?
So what should have been done to this guilty man?
They should have removed him.
They should have removed him. And what do we talk about? What is removed? Mm-hmm. Taken away. What should they do?
Kick him out.
Kick him out. And kick him out is excommunication. Okay. He should have been excommunicated. He should have been put out. But for whatever reason, they just looked over it and kept him in, let him stay in.
So when it says, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, other than kicking, that just
where are you at?
Covers that, or?
What verse is that?
I'm sorry, that is,
we're on 2.
That's 5, I'm sorry.
We're on verse 2.
But they had said something about kicking.
Yeah. That's because in verse 2 they did. They said that. Verse 2 says, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to moan? Let him who has done this be removed from among you.
Oh, and then they're going down.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want you to get ahead. Okay. No problem. No problem. Number 4. Sister Jackie. Yep, you'll be quiet next time. Read the verse.
Verse 4. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus. Did I read that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With the power of our Lord Jesus.
Okay.
And then the question 4? No. You read that, but you should have read 3. The question 4, but verse 3. Don't worry about it. You have to get that right in your mind.
Okay.
Well, I say it 4, so you read 4, but it's question 4, verse 3.
Verse 3, I'm getting ready to read. For those of absence in body, I am present in spirit. And as it presents, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing.
Okay. Let me stop. Sister Carolyn said she was confused. When I said 4, I was talking about question 4. But if you look at question 4, it tells you what verse is going to be discussed.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
It's from 5.
5, 3. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I got it now.
Okay. Everybody, we all got it together?
Yes.
Because I get confused too. Sometimes I say 4 and it's, you don't understand. Each one of the questions has what verse it comes from. And we're going through each verse. So you may be on question four, but the question four deals with verse three. Okay, so now we're on four. And Jackie, could you read the sister? Jackie, could you read verse three for us for question four?
For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing.
Okay.
And the question is, what had Paul done though he was not at Corinth?
What did he do?
He
had already, right, he had already judged.
He judged the
sinners. And he was saying, you know, he's saying, you all need to, too. Y'all need to, too. Number five, verse four. Sister Louetta, did you do one?
Okay. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus. Okay. What does 5:4 tell about how church discipline should be exercised? Okay, it should be exercised by the Spirit of God.
Okay.
Through the individual.
Okay. I want us to look at that one really, really close. It says, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, you can judge when it's consistent with the name of the Lord or consistent with his holy person and his will. Okay? The church discipline. You can discipline when it's consistent with the person's holy person and will, and his will. It says, gather together. Okay, so you do it where the action is done publicly. And then it says, with the power of our Lord Jesus. Power, the authority, is in view here. Action against unrepentant sinning in the church carries the weight of the Lord's authority. Okay, so in that you want the name of our Lord, we do it when it's consistent with the Lord's will. We do it when we're gathered together, meeting publicly, and the action against unrepentant sinning is carries the weight of the Lord's authority. And it's all in that one verse.
So, in other words, when the assembly of the saints of God, the assembly of the church, and the leader of the church, under the unction of the word of God and the power of God, is when we are to judge the ungodly acts.
For the make it simple, we're supposed to put them on blast.
Right. Before everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then remember, the goal is for them to feel shame.
Yeah.
If they don't accept the first three steps, whereas, you know, you end up at that place where no leader wants to be. No leader looks forward to that moment. But he's commanded at that moment, because when y'all walk to the person, they convince them to stop. Think about it. It wouldn't even have to get to the level where that would have to happen if they didn't listen to Minister Dad, if they listened to Sister Frieda, and y'all say, look, hey, look, you're pushing the envelope. Okay? I mean, we don't have to go down this road, but you do understand what's next. If they go, the arrogant guy, what he say? I don't care. So, all right, now we at church. We all clap and sing hallelujah, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now we need to do something, y'all. Or so-and-so, stand up. I understand that you've been doing this such. Is it true? Now he or she has a chance to tell the truth or lie, right? Mm-hmm. If they lie, then guess what I gotta do? Bring who? The witnesses. Sister Daphne, Sister Frieda has observed this behavior in you and have come to you and tried to reason with you. Is that not true? Well, you know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, since you won't listen to them, by two or three witnesses, everything is established, you got to go. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard for us to hear, but that's what they say. You got to go. And we're not kicking you out because we're mad at you. We're kicking you out because we love you and we want you to love the saints and the fellowship so much and God so much that you, after you leave, you would repent. And you come on back. You come on back. You just like you getting about to walk out that door, if you come to a repentant state, and think about this, Sister Brown, and since we did it publicly, guess what your repentance got to be?
Publicly.
Okay. We did that in our church already, for one person. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna go into it. If you remember it, you remember it. If you don't, you don't. We've done that for one person, you know, because they repented. And we love to write on back like they ain't never done nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, this is some heavy stuff, Sister Brown.
It's heavy.
You know, maybe I'll pass that kind of stuff on to Minister Dad, let her be a bad guy.
And you know, you just think if we had, oh God, if our churches were set up to do and set up and would do that, we wouldn't have a lot of foolishness in church. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have a lot of foolishness. Yeah.
Well, now I'm ready to throw something in the ring
here. Go ahead. Do we have to judge?
No, it's not that.
I'm just joking.
I just want some feedback. So there is a church that does it, but what they do is what they call excommunicate. If anybody know about
them.
That's what we just talked about.
They excommunicate them, and I heard a lot of scrutiny about it because the people, you know, have some of them have really had mental breakdowns because of this excommunication, and you know, they were sorrowful and repented, but the particular church was like, well, you have to stay out for so long, mm-hmm, and prove yourself. So now when you cross certain lines, you know, the word tells you one thing, but then we want to add to it.
Right.
That
leads to that problem.
We want to put our little spin to it instead of just sticking to the guidelines of what the word says.
Yeah.
You know,
if they've repented, I don't care if it's the next day. Why can't they come back?
Okay.
So they arbitrarily say you got to stay out for 10 days.
Right. That's what man is throwing that in.
Or 6 months.
That's man.
And then prove to us,
right,
through what?
Right.
What is? I mean, some things can't be proved. I mean, let's say you doing some stuff that we can actually see, like, okay, you ain't doing that no more. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's proof enough. Mm-hmm. You know that you've actually, whatever we caught you or whatever you've been doing, the proof would be you're not doing anything, because repentance is going in the opposite direction.
Right.
So let's say you live in a shack, your boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. Then what would be the opposite of that?
Leave.
I ain't say y'all baby girlfriend, boyfriend.
Leave. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you live here, they live here. End of discussion. Come on back.
But I mean, if they still fornicating.
Hold on, but see, that's the thing. We gotta hope that person who does that act of that also understands that they ain't supposed to be doing the other.
Right.
Okay, now we not gonna necessarily catch them in that.
Right.
You know, unless we're in their bedroom.
Right.
But we gonna say, okay, the Bible says appearance of evil. Really? We're gonna trust you and let you come back. Mm-hmm. But if that person, see, what did normally have that? Do you remember? Was that a dark ball of light?
That's true.
Always.
That's true. Always.
What would normally happen with that? Y'all separate. This is the same. This is the ain't.
Mm-hmm.
The ain't is used to a transactional relationship of love.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You do for me, we have sex, we play house.
Yeah. Nice.
You decide I ain't doing that no more because it dishonors God. They over here,
They're gonna
you still fornicate. What do you think this person will eventually do?
Leave.
No.
They're gonna draw you away from.
No. What? You know what they're gonna do? Mm-hmm.
Not trust.
They're gonna bust you out.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They gonna say, huh, I bet your church don't know we still doing it. And then next thing you know, when he gets mad at you, or she having whichever way you want to, or he or she gets mad at you, they'll come through that door. Mm. And be sitting there just like this. You wonder what they get ready to do. And all they came through the door is tell you, oh, we moved apart, but we still fornicating. Mm-hmm. See, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I just seen it happen a whole bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You know, it was gonna happen at one of our dear saints that's in our church now. Like I said, I ain't gonna name. Ex-spouse was started coming to church. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he was coming to church because he was going to expose her. Ooh, wow. He wasn't coming to church to really be part of us. Mm. He was coming to church because he's going to tell her. Because he's mad.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, that person you trust is doing this. And he did come to me.
Really?
And I said, okay. And I said, thank you. Mm-hmm. Then I went to them. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, are you doing this, and this? They shamefully said yes. I said, so what you going to do about it? They said they're going to stop and repent. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, there's no reason to kick you out if you're going to repent. Mm-hmm. But if you're still going to do this, just be honest with me. Mm-hmm. But you got to go. You can't be in leadership or anything like that. Right. You just, you know. Now, and what I mean by go is this. Go sit. Necessarily, if you're in leadership, it's more of go sit in the pew. Unless it's just so egregious, you know. But the goal is to bring you back in repentance. I don't have an arbitrary time. You know, like we got our rule book, our bylaws. It's 15 days if you caught fornicating. It's 17 days if you caught fornicating and stealing. No, all I want to hear is I want to be able to trust you in what you say. You repented and you've done the practical thing on that side of the equation, then come on. And if you do it without us, nobody else has to know. You can do it between you and God. And nobody got to know. I've learned I'd rather do it with God than with y'all.
Hallelujah.
That's the way I think.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because just we're human. We're going to hold it. If we're not mature enough, like Galatians 6 and 1 tells us, that's why I say those who are spiritual restore such a one. Mm-hmm. Because those who are not so spiritual, that's what you'll get. I mean, glad our church is not that. I can actually say that our church is not that because when we restored this person, we restored them fully. We don't even talk about it no more. You know, but the key is you got to have a mature enough church that can handle the discipline of the church. You know, and the church has to back the person.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying, Sister Daphne?
Yes.
It's like when we excommunicate somebody, it's not your job to go behind me and say, well, you know, pastor shouldn't have done that. Your thing should be, they're excommunicating you too.
That's why it should be publicly.
That's why it should be done publicly. Right. All of us shun the person. And sometimes it's probably go through a ritual, like they all, you see it in the movie, they all turn their back on the person. And the person got to walk out in shame. We ain't going to do all that. But the goal is to make the person feel so isolated, so lonely from their family, that they make a conscious decision that it ain't worth it. But you know, most churches, like I say, it's a scary thing to even think about having to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate it. I hate to even think that. You know, some have got close, and then I watch God. See, and when I think they're getting close, I start praying. Mm-hmm. I start praying because I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't. If they get close, I'm like, Lord, you know I don't want to do this. Please intervene.
Yeah.
And you know what? God has intervened every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It ain't been a lot. But it's been enough to like, Lord, I don't want to have to do this.
Yeah.
But, Lord, you, these are your children.
Hallelujah.
And it's one thing I'm going to say. It doesn't mean they're not saved. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right?
Okay.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay. They've done something that's egregious. Neither in this thing that we see with this thing with Paul, Sister Brown, do we see him ever not calling a person a saint.
A saint. All right.
Okay? So, don't think that they're not saved because they do this. You know,
And that's, I think that's one of the hardest things we have as saints of God, is judging others, and when we really shouldn't, you know, it's hard.
Well, see this is what I'm saying, we play this word. We can judge because we can judge.
Right.
Our problem is we condemn.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. Because judging is right and wrong. Okay. Condemning is no hope. And sometimes our judgment borderlines on condemnation.
Right.
Like the situation you gave, that mental stress, that's condemnation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're telling this person they ain't got no hope. You put them in a corner with no hope.
Yeah.
And if after we judge, our heart should be so, our heart should hurt that it's happening.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
When those people are being kicked out the church, we should be in tears.
Yeah.
Because we gotta do this, but we don't want to. Mm-hmm. But we know if we really love them, we want them to come back. Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna have a conversation with them, tell them you miss them and it hurts. Mm. If you miss them and it hurts. That's the part of church we don't get.
Right.
So they've got the sorrow that we should on. Have towards that person that gets excommunicated. You know. They have shunned you and done. Don't talk to them. Don't call them. Don't do nothing. I'm saying you call them as long as it's sorrow. Mm-hmm. But don't call them trying to keep them in their sin. You know, everybody do it. No, don't do that. Because then what you're doing is you are okay in sin. And probably you glad it didn't happen to you. And you figure it might be coming towards you.
Keep the wrath off of you.
So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you keep sinning. So it's all right.
Keep the attention on you.
That was good, Dad, because that does not, now you know, our position is we're looking to restore anybody that we get rid of in that way. Anybody. And there is no time limit. If we do this on a Sunday and they come back on a Sunday, next Sunday, all I'm going to ask them is get up before the church and tell them what you did to repent.
Exactly.
And go sit back down and go enjoy yourself. Yeah, you're back restoring the right fellowship.
And that kind of adds along with some of that church hurt, how we have so many saints of God that have that church hurt. Like you said, you have to come back. When you come back, you have to do whatever, you know, pay this, do this, make sure you did that many flips and whatever, you know, and did you do this and all that. And you have your little checklist. I mean, when all that stuff is just man. And then like Doc said, if you repent, that's all it takes. Is to repent. Come on back. Come on back. But you know, we always have to throw our little stuff in there.
The rituals that they went through that wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
Made up themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at number 6 because I think someone had talked about that. That should help. Frieda, you want to do that one? Question 6 comes from verse 5.
Okay. Reading verse 5. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord.
Okay.
Question is, what should be done to the sinner? And where else is this expression used? Think. Explain. Deliver him to Satan.
Okay, that was the question.
Yes.
Okay.
I know where it was with Judas. Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, he was delivered over to Satan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, explain.
Well, I was thinking even beforehand, like, the person is obviously doing something wrong. That's how they're on trial anyway. So deliver over them to Satan, just let them go. You acting worldly in here, we can't have it. So just go out into the world, right?
Yeah.
Go out into the world. Yeah.
See,
so yeah, like with Jesus saying, because Jesus already knew that Judas was gonna do it. So okay, Judas, yep, now your time. Now's the time you can go on out there and do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You all are talking among yourself. We can't hear you.
Speak up.
I mean, I was just saying David because he had sinned, but then he came when he said, "Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So you know, even though he sinned, he was saved later on.
Well, where I was coming from, delivered to Satan, it's the same thing as being excommunicated for the, you know, the professed believer. It amounts to putting that person out of the blessing of the Christian worship and fellowship by thrusting him into Satan's realm. You're already out there, gone. Gone back out there. However, again, like what we just said earlier, that person can always come back once they have repented. But you know, you out there doing the work of Satan, you know, stay out there with him. Am I not correct, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, you'll get the fruit of your labor. You know, what we've done is eliminate your infectious yeast in the presence of us.
Mm-hmm.
So go on out there and do you.
Right.
And if it worked for you, stay out there. And if you stay out there for the rest of your life, then it falls into the category of 1 John 3. You practicing sin, so you really weren't never a child of God.
Never say saved.
Because the Bible does say if they went out from among us and never returned, they were never part of us no way.
And we don't deal with them because God deals
with those
with the outside.
Right. Yeah. So right. So we turn them over to Satan. We're also turning them back over to what God has to deal with them as far as mm-hmm. that's concerned. They move out of the protection of Christ. And they go out and they're on their own. If they decide to stay out there, I don't want any part of y'all fellowship no more. I'll find a Burger King church that they'll do it my way. I'll find one that'll call them my sin. Join a mega church where nobody knows me and I can sit and clap with everybody. Fine, stay out there. You'll get the fruit of your labor. But don't think you're fooling God, because God said in 1 John 3, that's such a powerful chapter. He said, if you are practicing sin, you are not. He didn't say may not. He said, you are not a child of God. Okay, all of chapter 3, start at chapter 2, verse 9. Read all the way through. He said, you are not a child of God. Mm-hmm. And practicing is practicing. Mm-hmm. Practicing is not having a struggle. Practicing is the arrogance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it because I'm grown. I'm going to do it because I want to. And God still loves me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You keep thinking that, you will end up in hell because you practicing sin. And you would never, you want to practice the sin more than you want to obey God. You know? And sometimes, and again, it's subtle. The arrogance is so subtle. Mm. Because it's not, never normally, that person is not, because you know that person normally is trying to hide it, right? Mm-hmm. It's only when confronted that they, but they've been trying to hide it all this time. And hoping that the church is so weak in their doctrine and their teachings that they'll just let it go because I'm important or I give a lot of money, whatever you want to put on, you know. But in John 3, he said, if you practice sin, you're not one of God's children. And I don't care what you say. You know, you're not. So what does practicing mean? That means that you continue to do it and you have no regard.
Right.
You know, if you got a conscience and you're doing it, at some point the conscience needs to win. The God conscience. But sometimes, you know, I know how sin does before I was saved. I knew it was wrong, but it felt so good, and it appeared that I was still being blessed. Mm. Mm. But actually, I was actually storing up wrath for the day of wrath. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And only I could come to that conclusion because I'm on this side of the fence now. Mm-hmm. When I was on that side of the fence, I couldn't see it.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I was blind to it.
Your arrogance.
But once I got on this side, I was like, oh my God, I deserve to die. Mm-hmm. I deserve to die. I've done enough. Lord, you really want me to be you? You want me to carry your word? Right. Oh no, you forgot that. Go down the street. He said, no. And I look back and I say, because I do know the difference. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was out in the world and loved the world. And love the things in it. And the Bible says I was an enemy of God. But you wouldn't, if you'd have told me that and not showed me that, I said, you lying. Look at all I got. I got to be blessed.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
You see what I'm saying, Minister?
Yeah.
You told me that.
Yeah.
You told me that.
You still.
You told me that. Okay. Who are you? But then you open the Bible, and I think about the even if you just showed it to me, I'd be like, and? Mm-hmm. I'm the exception.
Yeah. Wow. There is no exception with
God. No, yeah, it probably would have been something like God knows my heart.
My defense mode would be, it can't be true, but look at what I got. I'm a young Solomon.
Okay.
Because I had a worldly mindset. I had no spirit in me but the devil. I was a child of the devil. I'm what the Bible said I was. You see what I'm saying? And because I can say I was what the Bible said I was, guess what I can do also? I can say I am what it said I am now.
But not then.
No. Thank God I wasn't in church. I wouldn't know the difference.
And the sad part to me is, I think Venus hit on it at our Bible study the other night when she was saying she was in church all her life and, you know, was living like hell, living like the devil, and didn't realize it because she hadn't been taught the true word of God. And so many people right now today are living the same way. I am just so grateful that, you know, God put me under a ministry that truly teaches me what the word of God is. And then, you know, in my heart, I want to know more.
I think those are some shoes a lot of us can wear. Yeah. You know, the same thing we've been going through and going through. Pardon me?
You've done a lot in our lifetime.
While in church.
Right.
Well, when I was leading up to say that, even in church, God is only going to give you what you desire. If you don't want to know more, you don't have to know more. He ain't going to force it down your throat. It's what you desire to know of him is what God is willing and able. He said the door is always open. If you knock the door, if you ever ask and you shall receive, you know.
Some say they only need just a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's it. I got it.
That little bit that you think you have,
Sundays. I don't need no more.
You just said something scripture. The Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. So you get either or. Think about this. If you desire the world, there it is. If you desire God, here I am.
Amen.
And the more you come to the here I am, the more you know that there it is don't mean nothing to you. You know, I want to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to, like I say, I am so humbled by God and his long suffering for me.
Yes.
You know, I can't speak to nobody else but me. Lord. That 44 years. You know, and from 27 to 44, just out there. Living like a crazy man. And the world said I was a good man. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that blows my mind. The world said I was a good man.
Yes, the world.
The world did. And I had no way to know what I was buying into because I bought into what I was taught to buy into. And then God comes on and I have the road of Damascus experience. And I'm like, why? And then he says, you're going to suffer. But why I got to suffer when all I can do is just not be on that side? No. Because I understand who you become and how I wanted to position you. That's why I tell people, all your experiences outside of God supposed to lead you to a magnificent testimony about who God is now. If you was a drugger, fornicator, jumping in and out, doing all the world things, and now you didn't have your but God moment, don't run away from your testimony.
Amen.
Now, if you live in like a hypocrite, you ain't got no testimony.
Right.
But if you done really crossed over to God's side, you're not perfect, you got still got issues, but you can say that and still give the people what they need. I'm still struggling with this, but guess what? I understand how you feel. I felt the same way until I found out. We're going to all struggle. But there are some things that God wants to deliver you from, but you can't come until you come to him in truth. I'm a sinner. Name your sin. My sin ain't your sin. Name your sin. Name your pick, as they say in the bar. Pick your poison. And tell God about it. He already knows. And I'm telling you, if you trust God with that thing, that you don't want nobody else to know, mm-hmm. he'll tell you, we got to go no further than this.
Mm-hmm. It's you and I.
It's you and I. Mm-hmm. But what I expect out of you before you understand where I'm going to take you, obey what you know.
Hallelujah.
You can't obey what you don't know.
No. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So right. What you said, Daphne, is key. How much of God do you really desire? Mm-hmm. Because every step up with God takes a level of sacrifice of who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. Your flesh. Mm-hmm. You know. So yeah, that was good. I like what you said there. Sorry, Sister Brown, we hijacked your class.
No problem. We're going to stop there.
Amen.
And on your sheet, I think we have, again, 15 questions, and we're on number 7. So we're going to stop, and next week we'll pick it up. You know, if you have a chance, I would like for all of you all to read that over and kind of look over those questions again, and we can discuss it further. Again, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a short one. We'll be finished with this, and then next week we're going on to 6. And then, but you know, that I always give.
But that's a good thing, Sister Brian. You're sparing on conversations.
Yes.
And causing people to think. Like I said, don't never be in a rush.
Yeah. You know, because when I'm doing it, when I'm doing the lessons, it causes me to think. And I thank God for you know, just opening up my eyes at some of the things that I'm seeing when I'm studying and preparing our lessons. And I thank God for Doc for allowing me to sit up here and, you know, discuss this with you all and stuff. Because I think that we're all getting more. Again, you know, we had said once before, we read it, but we've never really sat down and discussed it and chewed on it and let it, you know, mm-hmm. penetrate in our minds and in our hearts as to what's really there. So, I like the way we're doing it. Okay. Frieda, you want to pray us out?
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the lesson that we had today. We thank you that we have a lot to think about and chew on and meditate on and let it fester in our spirits, Lord, so that in all actuality we could just be a stronger church. We thank you for the time we got to spend. We ask that you allow everybody to make it to their various destinations safely and bring us back next week even stronger and more willing to learn even more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.